John Thomas is founder of Living Hope. And you might not know this here in Gauteng, but there's a raging fire taking place at a community called Masipumelele in Fishhoek. And the firefighters have been doing all they can to try and tame this fire, but it's ravaging that particular community. I've heard in the news that police had to come in because certain members of the community were fighting with the firefighters, and all sorts of things are taking place. John Thomas is founder of Living Hope. It's an NGO that's helping out in that community. And we thought he can come on quickly just to let us know what's happening. And perhaps you might find it in your heart to help out in this particular situation. John, thank you very much for coming through. I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Aubrey. It's great to be on 702 in Cape Talk for whoever's listening on Cape Talk side or Cape Town side of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. The estimation at this particular point is that at least 5,000 people are homeless.
Oh.
That possibly is conservative. The fire is still burning, started at 12 minutes past 4 this afternoon. It's fanned by a southeaster wind here. I have to say, every fire truck that the city of Cape Town had, I think, came in and helicopters. But this is, I can only say to you, devastation like a scene out of a cruel movie, sort of an Armageddon of sorts. I mean,
what caused the fire, John?
The maker could not conjure it up.
Sure. What caused the fire?
We don't know. It's windy, and these fires break out. The wetlands, it's what is called the wetlands of Masipumelele, where there are close to, dependent on who you listen to, but good 8,000 shacks, and they are jammed together with no roads in between or anything. It just took off and has exploded, and it's the most devastating scene.
Wow.
I have seen a lot of disasters, but words fail me to describe the utter devastation that I have seen.
5,000 families displaced, John. Tell me, this is, an informal settlement?
Yes, well, it's part of it. Yes, it is an informal settlement. It's part of a settlement, but it's completely shack land.
Wow.
This part. And we have been asked at Living Hope, which is right across the road from Masipumelele. Living Hope has been around for 20 years, and we respond to disasters, amongst many other things. But this is on a scale that hopefully will ultimately make national news. But we have been asked about an hour ago to provide breakfast for 5,000 people tomorrow.
Yo.
Porridge. None of these folk have had supper tonight because they're running, clutching, grabbing whatever they can to get it out of their household. The little streets are jammed, people carrying furniture, children are crying.
Oh.
I mean, you see a little child clutching onto its mother. I mean, I don't want to make it sound emotional, but I want to tell you, there's a biblical story about the fiery furnace. That's what these people are going through now. And it is just awful, awful, awful.
How do we help? How does the 702 Cape Talk community help in all of this, John?
Right. For those in Cape Town, Living Hope is, I think, reasonably well-known right opposite Masipumelele. And we're open 24 hours. We're collecting everything that you can think of, baby foods, baby clothes, hygiene items, masks, furniture, bedding, blankets, eating utensils, plates, bowls, towels, clothing. And so all of that, we've got a team of volunteers working through the night. We have a large hall there. But for the Gauteng community or online community, there are two ways of doing this. They could put money into our disaster appeal account. I can assure you it's very carefully audited. We're not a mom-and-pop NGO. We employ 250 people in amongst other things in the healthcare sector, and deeply rooted into Masipumelele. So they can go to our livinghope.co.za website and hit how you can give and hit on the greatest need if they're in Gauteng. Alternatively, I don't know what your policies are, but I can give the disaster appeal account number over the air for people to put it in.
No, man, give it over the account. Give it over the air, John. Give it over the air.
Sure. It's FNB, First National Bank, and the account number, which is basically one of the important part, is 626-724-19267. Let me do that again.
Yes.
626-724-19267. So that is Living Hope Disaster Appeal Account. We will get every cent. We're going to have to do a huge shop in the morning to try and feed these people. I think the city and provincial schemes will kick in probably later tomorrow afternoon. And then the feeding will be less onerous on Living Hope. But right now, they have no systems in place and have asked us to take care of breakfast. Now, you've got to remember, these folk haven't had supper tonight.
Oh, I'm just having those pictures of those kids clinging to their mom. Their mom's just in an absolute frenzy to save what little they have left. John, bless you, and we'll be available again tomorrow at around about the same time, maybe a little earlier, if there's a message that you'd like to put on out there.
Sure.
We call it the 702 family, and they've never disappointed just in terms of their generosity, and I hope that once again they can heed the call to help the people of Masipumelele. Once again, 5,000 families displaced, folks, by a fire that is ravaging that community in ways that are biblical. And John Thomas is the founder of Living Hope. We know that they are a credible organization, and I would implore you to please help them. John, thank you so much for joining us, and please keep in touch with us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for giving us the time.
Much appreciated. John Thomas, founder of Living Hope. We'll put on those details onto our website, and perhaps I will repeat them later on, so that if you do want to help out the people of Masipumelele, out in Cape Town, in Fishhoek. Sad, sad story. Let's take a break. After the break, I'm going to be speaking to Africa analyst in our Africa at a Glance slot. Our last one this year. His name is Kofi Kwaku. I've spoken to Kofi many, many times. A very, very credible intellect. And we're going to be talking about the evolution, the story of Pan-Africanism. It's really the reviewing of a book called The Issues of Prophets, Poets, and Philosophers of the Pan-African Pantheon. We're going to be talking to him about that. I'm really looking forward to this conversation straight after this.
Clement Maniatella.
Weekday mornings.
9 to 12.
Your relationship with the late Brenda Fassie. Every time the media reports about that, they'll include the word rivalry. And I wonder if that existed or was it exaggerated?
Well, I think the media always wants anything that sells. And Brenda Fassie played right in the media's hands because she knew. She says a newspaper or television news without Brenda Fassie, there are no news. Mm. She was just that amazing person. But truly and honestly, when Brenda was in trouble, she would come to me.
Clement Maniatella.
9 to 12 on 702.
The Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development invites qualifying subsistence farmers and producers to apply for the Presidential Employment Stimulus Initiative. Women, youth, persons living with disabilities and military veterans are also encouraged to apply. To apply, dial *134*4536# on your mobile phone and follow the prompts. Applications are free of charge and close on the 22nd of December. For more information on the application process, visit dalrrd.gov.za, all in higher case, or call or visit the nearest departmental offices.
They say if you want to go fast, go alone.
Yeah!
But if you want to go far, go together. Nowhere does this apply more than in business, especially when you're an online marketplace or need to share part of your sale with others. You've got to ensure that while you make money, your partners get paid too. PayFast has launched Split Payments that instantly splits commission, membership, or listing fees whenever a payment is made online. So, now you can go fast and go together. Visit payfast.co.za.
Your voice.
Your station.
Let's walk the talk.
702 Summer.
The author of the book is Adeke Abe Adebayo. The book is called Prophets, Poets, and Philosophers of the Pan-Africanist Pantheon. Interesting title there. And my guest is Kofi Kwaku, who is an Africa analyst. We've had many, many conversations in the past to talk about this book. Kofi, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you very much. Over a long time, and good evening to you and to your listeners.
Pan-Africanism is usually associated with certain political parties, certain individuals. First coming up as a South African, when I think of Pan-Africanism, I think of Robert Mangaliso Sobukwe. I suppose more globally, you think of people such as Kwame Nkrumah, who's really understood to be the father of Pan-Africanism. But it goes a little bit further than that, doesn't it, Kofi? And that's why it's important for us to be talking about this book.
Yes, indeed, it does. And what is important about it is, I mean, it's such a vast subject that attempting to do justice to it in one volume is a challenge indeed. But at least, you know, putting a little, you know, stick inside that story is really something very important. So what this book really has done is to take a thematic approach to telling part of that story of Pan-Africanism, and then how it's underpinned by specific people who play the role into making this sort of movement or this wave of concern or reaction to both slavery and colonialism come to life. So it does have a sort of biographical sketches of those prophets, poets, and then, if you want, you know, the pioneers of this whole thing, and then philosophers, of course. And I think that's what it is. So, but it's not it's really, as in all great work, there's always choices that you have to make. Of course, I have my beef with some of the, you know, the people who are missing out there. For example, Mandela is not there. Sheikh Anta Diop was the key person out in Senegal who wrote Civilization and Barbarism. You also have forgotten people like Patrice Lumumba, Sekou Toure, Thomas Sankara, and even Pele. I think they should have had a sport, you know, a section there or part where you have Pele, but also Muhammad Ali and some of the big thing. But I think it's a good compendium. It's big enough. It's about 655 pages. That's a huge academic book. It shouldn't deter people, because I think that's where we should go. And it takes us, in fact, the first chapter, part one, is about what's called the roots, with O-O-R-O-O-T-S, and then the root, R-O-U-T.
I suppose it's also a little bit of a hopping back to the movie Roots by, I've just now lost the name.
Alex Haley.
It's probably a play on that too. But I want to understand from your perspective what looks like a very interesting title, Prophets, Poets, Philosophers of the Pan-African Pantheon. Pantheon is a very European symbol, but here we are talking about Pan-Africanism and luminaries of the ideology of Pan-Africanism. Talk to me about that. What's going on there?
Yes, it's a way. I mean, the way, if you look at it now, languages are a so powerful instrument to convey meanings, but also to appropriate specific power. And I think the word pantheon, although it's a Greek word, I mean, you split them both, pan, which means all. It's a very academic way of saying all, right?
Yeah.
And then theos, which is gods. So putting the gods up there, all the gods. But it's also basically the idea that you have people who are so important that they're famous ones, they're particularly respected, they're high caliber people, famous enough, but also these important people
will shape something, a specific feel, a specific idea, and so forth. And so in doing so, that's what this book is trying to do. But of course, it couldn't put everybody in
there. Sure, sure.
It was a little bit tricky, and I think that's the point I'm trying to make. So there, it's also capturing, I think that there's a binary element that governs this whole book as well about Pan-Africanism. The first one is the ideal. You know, the fact that we're aspiring to something about Africans' unity going forward so that Africans can be free, can be also sovereign in that unity going forward, right? And it goes all the way back to, in fact, it's not just the 1800, but also to the 1500 before the Portuguese came to Africa.
Yeah.
And it's also a geographic movement itself because it takes into account the diaspora. It's not just people who live in Africa. The diaspora, which means the descendant of the former slaves that were captured, the between 15 to 20 million. We don't even know the exact number of slaves who were captured and sold to the Americas. And that's what it's trying to do. Capture part of that route, as well as the route that took to get there, and then stretch it all the way front here into the 20th century to see who are these people. Why do they matter? What is the idea about what does it mean today to be an African, for example? Combining four things, identity, sovereignty, individual naming, and then collectively as well.
The idea of diaspora being it's one of the little gripes that I have, little old me have about this, the term diaspora and its meaning in the context of Pan-Africanism, that it doesn't extend to the fact that some Africans, especially in the 20th and the 21st century, have made choices to go to other parts of the world. They're not necessarily in other parts of the world because of the slave trade necessarily, but because of choices that they've made. Maybe they've got some agency, maybe it's necessity, but certain choices have been made. Should they be part of the diaspora, or is the idea of the diaspora only for those people that have their location in other parts of the world other than Africa? Is it only because of the slave trade?
Yeah, well, you know, one thing you put your finger on at the beginning when you start talking, you use the word evolution. So Pan-Africanism has evolved. It's taking many branches. In fact, there's now a great deal of talk about neo-Pan-Africanism, which means people are thinking about it and say, well, you know, the world has changed so fast. It's different from the 14th, 17th, 19th, even 20th century. And things are changing so fast that you need to appropriate languages that will serve the ideal. But the ideal by itself, which means the aspiration that Africans could be united, you need to transform the ideal into an idea.
Yeah.
Something that's practical and doable.
Yeah.
So diaspora is a if you want, it's an instrument to be used to attempt to capture those who are really spread out around the world, not just in Africa. It brings it into account the geographical context of the meaning of unity. How do you unite all these people? You need to identify them. Where are they? Geographically, they're all over the world. And now you have a big growing diaspora of Africans in China, for example, in Japan, in Russia. So do you account all these? So it's a form of accounting the potential contribution to all these groups of people who are African descent, to be able to keep them into that unity so that the work towards a free, if you want, also united Africa with the diaspora.
Kofi, you know, again, maybe we started off too quickly, because I'm almost sensing that we need to perhaps define the idea and perhaps even the ideology of Pan-Africanism even before we continue with this conversation. But I do want to go back to that word pantheon in the title of Adekeye Adebayo's book, Prophets, Poets, and Philosophers of the Pan-African Pantheon. One of the things that I also continue to have a gripe about whenever we talk about the luminaries, the prophets, the poets and philosophers of the ideology of Pan-Africanism, is that we get sometimes to a place where we give them the status of deity almost. that when somebody when somebody quotes Steve Biko or Frantz Fanon, their voice quivers, right? Because it's almost like they're speaking about a canonized deity. Is this title not contributing to that? And I'll tell you why I have a slight problem with this deifying of these great men and women, right? And the one thing that I love about this, it also underscores and talks very, very much about the contribution of African feminism, which you find very, very scarce in many other conversations about Pan-Africanism. So kudos to Adekeye Abed Adebayo as far as that is concerned. But my...